The sermons from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church of Hancock, Minnesota, member of the Wells, preached on Easter Sunday, April 8, 2012, based on 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 58.
Please stand. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word from God through which the Holy Spirit points us to our risen and victorious Savior, Jesus Christ, is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 58. They are printed on page 6 in the service folder. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is the word of our Lord. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, fellow saints washed clean in the blood of our risen Savior, death comes. Sometimes it may wait 80 or 90 years or even a few more, but death comes. Sometimes it strikes in the prime of life. It may even strike the very young, even the unborn. Death comes. Years ago, it seemed that people were much more aware of just how quickly and unexpectedly death could strike. Anyone that grew up on a farm saw death with the farm animals from early on. And then when a family member died, the visitation and reveal was often held right there in the house, in the home. Death was a reality that people saw from little on up. Even the young and the vigorous could not avoid the reality of death. You couldn't shield them like so many children are shielded today. Yes, in our day, we seem to like to try to push death as far to the side as possible. People die in nursing homes or hospital rooms rather than in their own bed at home. Professionals take care of the burial arrangements. But even if we try to ignore death, it doesn't change the reality, does it? Death still comes. It comes to each one of us, one by one. Are you ready? Now, even though death is often pictured as a lone, hooded figure, death isn't alone. Death has his minions of servants, his minions of fears that go on before him, attacking long before death itself arrives. His minions of fear include fears of pain and suffering, fears of weakness and dependency, fears of being a burden, fears of losing or leaving behind loved ones, fears of being forgotten, fears of the unknown. And deeper even yet is that fear driven by guilt. Your conscience accuses. Will I now finally get what I deserve for all my failures in life? Will I suffer for the wrongs I have done? Are the fires of hell waiting for me? Yes, long before death cuts the cord, all these fears can debilitate and drive us down. What kind of fears filled the women on that Sunday morning as they went to that tomb? Oh, they had seen death. They had seen it close up firsthand just a few days earlier. Their dear friend Jesus hanging on that cross, bloodied. And then his body goes limp as he gives up his spirit. The soldier pierced Jesus' side and blood and water flowed out. a clear testimony that Jesus was dead. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus received permission to take down that dead body. They wrapped it in aloes and myrrh, spices to soften the stench of death. Since it was already late Friday, and soon the Sabbath, the day of rest, would begin, they put it in a nearby tomb, a new tomb, and rolled a stone in front of it. And now, early Sunday morning, those women were headed to that tomb to do one last act of service for their departed friend. For you see, as we join them in their grief and sorrow this morning, as we join them on that trip to the tomb, their hopes had been in that man, Jesus Christ. Their hopes that this man, Jesus from Nazareth, was more than just a man, that he was their Savior, the Messiah, the promised one, and yet those hopes died with him that Friday. And as they near the tomb, burdened with their grief and sorrow, they see the stone pushed to the side. How could things be worse? Could they not even leave his body in peace? But then they enter the tomb, and there is no death and decay there. Rather, an angel dressed in a white robe. "He is not here. He has risen," the angel proclaims. "Christ is not here. Jesus has risen." Could it really be true? Christ has conquered death. Could that be true? Yes, dear friends. Yes, that is the truth. Christ has conquered death. He has risen from the grave. He came back to life. And because he has conquered death, he has also conquered all those fears that serve as death minions. He has swallowed up death in victory. And he gives you and me that victory. It's not something that we have to earn, something that we have to make a decision for. No, he gives it to us. You heard that right here by the Apostle Paul. "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That is his promise. A promise that we receive by faith alone. Christ has died for you, and he has risen, and he has swallowed up death in victory, and that victory is yours. Believe it, dear friends. Trust in Jesus, your Savior, your only Savior from death and damnation. For as he told his disciples, he also tells you and me, "Because I live, you also will live." That is his promise to all who follow him, to all who hold firm to him in trust, that he is their God and Savior. He has swallowed up death for you. But is that really true? Because you look around and death still comes, doesn't it? Whether you are a Christian or not, whether you go to church or not, death still comes. Hasn't Jesus won that victory? Then why do we, his people, his children, still die? What we see seems to contradict what God says. And it appears that some of the early Christians in the city of Corinth in ancient Greece also struggled with doubts about their fellow believers who died. What happened to them? And so the Holy Spirit gives Paul these words to write in this letter that we call 1 Corinthians. And in chapter 15 here, Paul addresses those issues. He begins the chapter by taking us back to Easter, to Christ's resurrection from the grave. He makes it clear that that is the gospel. This is the good news, that Jesus died for us and that he rose from the dead, and that many have witnessed it and seen Jesus alive and testified to that truth. And then, as Paul explains, as you heard in the second lesson a little earlier here today, when Christ rose from the dead, that was the first fruits. Like the first flowers of spring or the first fruits of the harvest, it's a promise of more to come. It's the promise that just as Jesus rose from the dead, so also will those who belong to him through faith in him. And then Paul takes us to the end of time. That's where you heard the text today here begin. when Jesus returns again in his glory, or as Paul puts it, when the perishable has been clothed, the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. In other words, when our perishable bodies that will rot and decay after they die, when these perishable mortal bodies are raised, imperishable, never to die again, when Jesus returns, that's when we will see with our eyes what you now believe with your heart. That is when we will see with our eyes that death truly has been swallowed up. Now we do not see it, but we know it by faith because of God's promise, because of Jesus' resurrection. Death has been swallowed up, and that will be seen when Jesus returns and raises all from the grave and gives eternal life to those who believe in him. Then we too can join in that taunt, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" But how? How can Jesus give us the victory over death here? Well, Paul explains that. He says, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law." The reason death comes to each one of us is because of sin. Sin is that poison that gives death its power. And the reason that sin brings death to you and me is because that sin is the breaking of God's law. God's law condemns sin, and sin brings death. For we are all lawbreakers. For God's law not only addresses our outward actions like the law of the land does, God's law addresses also our words and the actions of our heart and mind. In other words, our thoughts and attitudes, our emotions, our will, our wants, our desires. Anything less than perfect love that loves God above everyone and everything else, that loves him with all our heart, soul, and mind, never doubting, never worrying, never complaining, only such perfect love keeps the law. Anything less makes us lawbreakers, even if it is just for a moment hidden in our hearts. Likewise, the law requires perfect love for our neighbor that is never selfish, never unforgiving, never proud or envious. Anything less makes us lawbreakers. That's why death has its power, because of our sin that breaks God's law. But Jesus, the God-man, kept God's law. He loved God perfectly. He loved his neighbor as himself. He actually gave his life for his enemies, for you and for me. And because he gave his life for us, that perfect life of his, that perfect record, counts for you in God's courtroom. That is your record through faith in Jesus. And that death on the cross pays for your sins. You see, Jesus has taken our sins on himself. He has taken that stinger so that the law has lost its power to condemn us, because Jesus has taken away our sin, and so death has lost its power to swallow us for eternity. Think about this illustration here. A family was on a summer vacation driving in a car. Suddenly a bumblebee started buzzing around, and the young daughter, who was deathly allergic to bee stings, started screaming. The father grabbed the bee with his hand, then he let it go. And the daughter started screaming again, but her daddy said, "Don't be afraid. Look at my hand." And there she saw the stinger, and knew that even though that bee was still buzzing around, she did not have to be afraid any longer. Her dad had taken the stinger. Look at Jesus' hands, dear friends. See his nail-pierced hands. He has taken the stinger for you. And death still buzzes around like that bumblebee. But for you who believe in Jesus, it has lost its stinger. The stinger's gone. So don't be afraid. Rather, look to Jesus and his cross. He has swallowed up death in victory, and he gives you that victory. The stinger's gone. and how this changes our lives, not just on that day when death comes, but on every day before that as well. And that's the last point Paul brings out here in the final verse here as he writes, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you." Yes, because Jesus has taken the stinger for you, dear friends, stand firm on Jesus. Stand firm on His Word. Don't let those fears we talked about, the fears of suffering or the fears of the unknown or the fears of death or the fears of guilt, move you away from Jesus. Rather, keep on listening to Jesus' voice. Keep on holding on to His Word. Keep His cross before your eyes so that day after day you see that He has taken the sting. The sting of death is gone. And therefore you can live without that fear. You can live for your Savior who died for you and then rose from the dead. And how this gives us purpose and meaning in life each day. And that's Paul's final point here as he writes, "Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Just think of that. So many people labor in this world and when they die, their work is soon forgotten. But Paul talks about our work as a Christian. And now he's not simply talking about the work of a pastor or a leader in a church. No. Your work in the Lord is whatever He gives you to do in this life. Whatever you do for the glory of God is service to the Lord. And because Jesus has taken that stinger for you, you can serve Him without fear. You can serve Him with that gladness of heart. Whether you're at home or at school, at work, or having fun, whatever you do, do it for the Lord's glory, using the gifts He has given you, praising Him by the way you do it, knowing that what you do as a Christian, the love that you show to others as a Christian, the love that you share as you tell others of the good news of Jesus, that Easter message, that is work that does not end with death but lasts for all eternity. As you serve your Lord, for He has swallowed up death and given you the victory. The stinger is gone. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.